Hello and welcome to another episode of This Week in Wealth with me, Alex Steger, and I'm joined, as ever, by Ian Wenig. Ian, hi.
You know, it's very funny. I was just thinking before we started taping that the last 2 weeks you've caught me when I'm about to hustle out of the studio. The last week, for reasons that we're about to get into, this week I'm about to head to Las Vegas for my annual poker trip with my brothers.
This is true every time. It's, you know, we're tight and lucky to have Ian on the pod. So yeah, this time last week, I think we teased it because we were recording the podcast, but we were also in the middle of reporting, I suppose, eventually breaking the news that LPL was going to be buying Commonwealth Financial Network. We almost wanted to talk about it then, but dear listener, one does have to go through certain stages here before breaking news. So yeah, let's just get straight into it. I suppose I should also add, if anyone's waiting for us to introduce any other guests, there are no other guests. This is very much a special on what was at least the biggest news of the week, although I think Liberation Day and the various tariffs announced this week in some cases may have trumped, if you'd pardon the pun, this news. But for the world of RIAs, financial advisors, wealth managers, I think the LPL Commonwealth story still very much dominates. So look, Ian, let's get into it. As ever, let's just start with a quick recap. What's happened?
So, it's very funny. I was trying to tell my wife that this is the story of the year. She goes, Ian, every week you break some story that you say is the story of the year. But this time, I mean it. Because, look, this is one of the biggest transactions we've seen in wealth management in the past 5 years. This dramatically shakes up, pardon my language, the independent broker-dealer industry. So what is this? This is a $2.7 billion all-cash acquisition by LPL of one of its biggest competitors, which has $285 billion in assets.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Let's do 1 second just on the size of both these firms. So LPL, the biggest independent broker-dealer with, can we get an approximate number for advisors and assets?
LPL is at about $1.7 trillion in assets.
That feels right to me.
And then with Commonwealth, you mentioned $285 billion. It was, I think, more at the start of the year, but markets have done their work. And number of advisors, sort of shy of 3,000 there or thereabouts?
I think it's about in like 2,350, give or take a couple.
Okay, cool. So yeah, a very sizable acquisition. Notable for lots of reasons, both in terms of, you know, what it says to LPL strategy. Also, you know, Commonwealth was for a long time, you know, a tightly held firm that had a very good reputation with advisors. But I think, as we touched on perhaps before on this pod, you know, had been a long holdout from the wave of M&A that's been sweeping through wealth management.
I mean, it's fascinating. I think that Commonwealth for years positioned itself as almost an anti-LPL because, like you said, it was a closely held company, primarily owned by the founder, Joseph Deitch, and his family, CEO Wayne Bloom as well. You know, they really...
We'll get into that in a minute. That's interesting too.
But, you know, they really emphasized, you know, avoiding M&A, really focusing on keeping advisors happy, service. You know, there are plenty of happy advisors at LPL, but LPL has been an acquisitive firm, publicly traded. I mean, you think about the ownership structures, they couldn't be more different.
Okay, so the news, one could say, came out of nowhere, but not if you were in this newsroom where, you know, we were abuzz with it for a few days. Let's be incredibly self-indulgent for a couple of minutes and talk about how we got this story, because obviously, officially, it was announced Monday, April 1. But keen readers will have noticed that on the Thursday prior and then the Friday prior, this story was effectively written by you, Ian. So can you give us a little inside look about on sort of how that came about?
Yes. I mean, what happened basically was about a month ago. So we, for context, in January, we broke that Commonwealth was pursuing a new investor and had hired Goldman Sachs to serve as its investment banker. So we knew that some sort of transaction was on the table. I would periodically check in with a lot of my M&A sources, see what was happening. About a month ago, someone told me, oh, LPL and Commonwealth, they're talking. I shot the bad signal, texted a bunch of people, didn't get any confirmation. So you kind of set it aside. I put in my little Google Doc of long-term news leads. And then on Thursday morning, another source independently texts me, oh, you know, there's some big broker-dealer news coming. And I text back, oh, is this LPL and Commonwealth? And they go, yes. And then much to either your delight or dismay, the alarm goes off in my head, my eyes get huge, and I call you and say, hey, we've got something here. And then I shoot up the bat signal again, text a ton of people, call a ton of people. We're recording This Week in Wealth. I'm texting people back, trying to pay attention to what's being said. And then, yeah, we go to LPL, we go to Commonwealth. They both give us the silent treatment. And then, you know, kind of like I talked about poker earlier, a lot of times journalism, you're making decisions based on incomplete information. And you and I sat down for about an hour and a half after that taping, figuring out what's the right way to frame and publish what we know.
Yeah, because obviously we had very, very good sources on this. But when firms don't get back to you, you have to, you know, consider all things. It was excellent. So obviously on that Thursday, we broke the story that the two parties were in talks. But by Friday, we had it effectively confirmed that the deal had been finalized. Because I think it's safe to say on Friday, certain people within LPL were told about this news, basically.
Yeah, LPL told it internally on Friday, and at that point we knew that we could safely report that not only was it a done deal, but that it was going to be announced on Monday.
Sure enough, 6 o'clock Monday morning.
There it was.
There it was.
Ultimate vindication.
But Commonwealth people didn't seem to be officially told on that Friday.
No, I mean, I think it's fascinating. A source texted me an email from Wayne Bloom,
the CEO of Commonwealth.
Yes, the Commonwealth CEO, apologizing for the lack of communication. So, I mean, you know, sometimes I view getting scoops almost like a sport. And I think sometimes I need like a little bit of dose of reality to recognize that the stuff that we're writing about is really high stakes and affects people's lives. I mean, there are thousands of Commonwealth advisors. They have like 1,000 home office employees. There are thousands of people that found out that their company was being sold from us as opposed to their management. And yeah, they apologize for it.
Yeah, not to us, to them, we should say. Yeah, okay. Well, that's sort of the how of the story. Let's maybe now get into the sort of what happens next. So obviously, deal's been announced, still to be completed. And then once it is, there's also a lot of work that goes on to get those two firms in some way, shape, or form together. So I suppose there are no, let's quote Donald Rumsfeld here, there are known knowns and known unknowns right now, and maybe some unknown unknowns, but we can't talk about those. So let's talk about what do we know is going to happen. There's some impact for Fidelity here, there's some impact for Advisor 360, there's some impact around the Commonwealth brand. Can we speak to those things that we know first, and then we'll drift, or rather rush enthusiastically into speculation thereafter?
Well, first off, I don't know if LPL is going to be greeted as liberators. So we'll start with that. But I think for me, the big unknown, the big question is, okay, LPL has to find a way to keep as many of these Commonwealth advisors, many of which are probably skeptical of LPL's business model, their service. They have to keep these people in-house somehow. And so LPL is going to have to come up with fairly aggressive retention packages, bonuses, to keep these advisors on the platform. So to me, that's point one. I think point two is also, how is Fidelity going to respond? Because Commonwealth used Fidelity for custody and clearing. Obviously, $285 billion in assets, that's a lot of money that's going to be moving off of Fidelity's platform and onto LPL's custodial platform. So yeah, I mean, if you're Fidelity, you probably just lost hundreds of millions of custodial revenue from losing them. How does Fidelity go and respond? They're Schwab's biggest competition in the custody market. They might have just lost their biggest individual customer. So that's a massive blow. And then I think the third is, on the tech side, Joe Deitch obviously also backs Advisor 360, which is the tech platform that's popular
with spun out of Commonwealth, in fact,
yes,
at one point, yeah.
Popular with Commonwealth advisors. You know, we broke that the contract that keeps Commonwealth advisors using Advisor 360, that's going to stay in place until, I believe, midway through 2026, but
basically when the deal closes,
yeah,
and
the transition's
over.
Done.
Yeah.
But basically, once that's done, all bets are off. So what's going to happen to Advisor 360? So okay, those are the three big things that stand out to me. And we've been on some of that we've already published stories on, and others we're still working on.
Yeah, I suppose that retention offer is sort of the big question we've seen in the past. where there have been other big deals. I think the one that springs to my mind would be the creative planning deal for Goldman Sachs' personal wealth management unit, or what was once United Capital. And obviously, we saw then like a decent amount of attrition, like a lot of advisors saying, actually, look, this isn't the home for me. If this is going to be sold, I'm either going to go solo, spin out as an RIA, or join another firm. And I guess that's a decision that some Commonwealth advisors might be thinking about in light of this. I think we should say in interviews, not with us, but with other publications from the leaders of LPL and Commonwealth, obviously they're obviously trying to pitch hard the continuity, that the Commonwealth brand will stay, that the sort of levels of service will remain the same. We've spoken to recruiters who've also said, look, you know, they're obviously not going to change the grid or any of the sort of payouts, because, you know, why would you do that? So it's by no means a given that lots of people will leave, but it's just, you know, they're in play.
Yeah, and I think the nuance there is, we talked about the United Capital Goldman deal. I think the difference is that those advisors were sold twice in a four-year span. And for a lot of Commonwealth advisors who have been there for a long time, this is probably the first, maybe the only time they've ever been through a transaction like this. And so I think just with the creative deal, you had advisors who I think were just tired of being moved around, and I think that sort of pushed
people
like
out. Felt like a commodity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a key difference there, and that's worth highlighting. You touched on there as well the home office. I mean, obviously that is something that often, and again, we this doesn't mean it will happen in this case, but often when you have two large brokerage firms, there are repeat roles. You know, people doing the same thing at two things within those home offices, and that does seem to be an area where often one sees, let's use the jargon, synergies. Do we know anything about that at all?
Not directly, but to be honest, yeah, it's hard to envision a universe in which a lot of people from the home office don't lose their jobs just because you have people fulfilling duplicate roles.
Okay, but again, we should say
we don't know definitively.
Just speculation.
Yeah.
But in terms of assets moving over, as you touched on, they will all move over to the LPL platform. Yeah. So they won't. Whilst Commonwealth will retain a brand, as far as we understand, and it may
at
have
least for the time being
some other distinctive elements that it will keep or that LPL will try to incorporate. They will become one company running it all off one platform, because obviously therein lie the benefits.
Definitely.
Excellent. Okay. What next? What else are you looking for here? Are those the big questions? Is there anything else to keep an eye on? Are there any other sort of interesting nuggets or angles that people haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, let's just see how a lot of the RIA platform service providers and the recruiters position themselves, because for them, this is like their Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl for them. They haven't seen this many advisors, quote unquote, up for grabs in years. I mean, we saw this a little bit with like the Osaic Lincoln transaction. We saw this a little bit with the LPL Atria acquisition a couple years back. But yeah, we haven't seen a transaction of this scale with this many long-time advisors with established books of businesses potentially on the move in an extremely long time, maybe ever.
And so this kind of brings a sort of close, I suppose, as it were, to, you know, what Commonwealth does. You know, it's sold itself, and as you mentioned, its founders. It's a closely held company by really almost literally a handful of people who have done, let's say, pretty to incredibly well out of this. But what's next for LPL? You know, is this, again, we're into the realms of at best forecasting, at worst, just making stuff up. But, you know, we know it's acquisitive. We know it filed to raise up to $4 billion. We know that it's spent $2.7 billion of them on this particular deal. And, you know, whilst it's paying cash, it's funding that through a mix of equity and debt. But do we think there's more to come here? Yeah. Can you digest more than one big deal a year if you're a company of that size? What happens for LPL and its new-ish CEO who's wasted very little time, you know, making his mark?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, look, you know, LPL filed to raise up to $4 billion. Obviously, they're raising some money through the sale of equity, sale of debt to help fund this. But yeah, there's still potentially some dry powder at play. I would imagine, though, just given the scale of that has to go into the retention efforts, the tech onboarding, the client repapering. You know, I wouldn't say anything's possible, especially with a company as big and well-run as LPL has been. But I'd have to expect that this might be the only major transaction they go for a little bit. But watch me get proven wrong.
Well, I was going to say, you know, listener, if this time next week we're back here talking about another huge deal, you know, we were wrong about that. But, well, look, I think that brings us to a really nice place. As I say, absolutely huge story in a week of other, you know, big news for markets in general. But Ian, I won't hold you from your plane to Vegas any longer. So thank you very much indeed for your time. And thank you, listener, for giving us your time as ever. And we will be back again next week for another episode of This Week in Wealth.